This is URN.
The Big Picture Breakdown.
Hello, welcome to The Big Picture. The time is 5 minutes past six. I'm back again this week. Sorry for missing last week. And we have a lot of people in the studio tonight. Okay, we're going to get straight into the swing of things because we've got a lot to cover tonight. Our first topic for the evening is the Austrian election. So everyone's already putting their hands up. It's very exciting. Last week, was the Austrian general election, and for the first time in 10 years they appear to not have enough of a majority to have a socialist coalition. And so whilst the Austrian People's Party still have enough votes to be the largest party, they do not have enough to make a coalition with the previous, yes, well, coalition of chaos potentially. And so there has been a huge rise in votes for Austria's far-right Freedom Party, who seem to currently be the most likely partners for coalition. Which leads me quite nicely to my first question, that if the People's Party take the far-right Freedom Party as a coalition partner, what would this mean for Austrian politics? Callum.
Right. Firstly, this has actually happened before. In 1999, the Austrian Freedom Party also had a really good performance. I think this will lead to an anti-immigrant shift in the way Austrian politics has been conducted, but I think it also shows the continuing rise of the far right across Europe. There's cause for hope, though, if you're not of that opinion. Previously, when it happened, the Freedom Party ended up getting battered in the polls for the next few elections, and very much like the Liberal Democrats did in coalition. Coalition always hurts the junior partner, and in this case the Freedom Party would be the junior partner. And I think if when people see that the Freedom Party is part of the establishment, I think they'll retreat back to the People's Party, thinking, well, they're just like them, you know, what's the point in voting for the Freedom Party? They're not anti-establishment at all.
Anyone else want to come in on that?
I think it's kind of disturbing because Kurz, who won the election, is also very anti-refugee and has an anti-refugee policy. And I think that the refugees are a European problem. And I think that the shift to the right just kind of plays into the whole Hungary system, Poland, all the shift to the right. And I think that the refugee crisis has to be handled by all Europeans.
Sam?
This has been compared a lot to a lot of alarm bells ringing about the Hitler, the elections in which Hitler got to the top. I mean, obviously it was in the German Reichstag, but not, but he was Austrian. But it's worth noting that this stuff doesn't happen for no reason. People don't just wake up one day and suddenly become right wing. They get pushed to it for some reason. I think it's important to see this not as so much as people turning to the right because they're particularly fetched by what the far right is saying, but actually that it's more of a referendum on the sort of established order of things. The whole way around Europe, people are getting sick of the sort of centrist, standard establishment who seem to always stand for pro-immigration. They stand for a closer union with the European Union. They stand for all of the same things, and people are eventually going to get tired. And they'll turn to anyone. And, in this country, we it seems that we're starting to begin to turn to the extremist Jeremy Corbyn. And in other countries, like in the United States, they're turning to the extreme right. So I don't think it's particularly surprising. I think just to come back on the comment that was made earlier about Sebastian Kurz, I think he's actually fantastic for the Austrian people. I think he's just essentially doing so well because he's saying what the people think. He's not, he's not holding rallies and telling people what to think. He is simply repeating what is being felt in the public, which is there's far too much immigration. There's too much tax, and just generally that the people in Austria are sort of sick of the socialist state of order.
Amen.
I think what's quite interesting here is that you've got a duplicity of on the one hand, I think it is he has shifted his maybe not his parliamentary party, but his brand, his message, slightly to the right to take votes from the far right. But whilst also kind of cementing the centre ground within modern Austrian politics. But he's also, you have to remember, he's 31. And this kind of follows this whole kind of, I think, celebrity nature of politics now with Macron, with Trudeau, that you need to have these hot and gorgeous, like, men with these beautiful haircuts to be able to get votes. And it's working in these countries that are supposedly, like, these, you know, uber democratic states like Canada, France, Austria, and it's really scary that it's almost becoming a personality contest. That I don't know this guy, but at 31 years old, that is 9 years older than I am now. How are you, on earth are you able to run a country? I mean, I just really, really kind of see now why certain constitutions have this age limit on them. And I used to think, oh, that's so stupid. And now I think the closer that I get to these ages, the more I think how absurd it is that they are this young. And I think it's a lot to do with this kind of celebrity culture that kind of explains a lot to do with Trump as well.
Gina?
I think interesting you say that about his age, because I agree with what you're saying in the sense that with him being so young, how can he necessarily have the experience of somebody older who could probably, I don't know, not be an ageist, but I agree with what you're saying. Mm. But getting back to, like, the far right, I think that it's quite... I think the media is influencing this rise of the right wing. Because what we're seeing in Germany and in France, I think people are picking up on that and thinking it's our turn to shift. But I just think it's quite concerning, actually, the rise of the right.
I actually think that there could be a rise to the right because of all the refugees and the refugee crisis. And I think that Europe isn't handling it well because it is a German problem and a Scandinavian problem, but not a European problem. And I think that that is the core of the right wing party.
Coming on from something that Eamon had mentioned, there does seem to be an increasing shift towards younger political leaders at the moment. We're seeing it in Canada with Trudeau, we're seeing it in France with Macron. So one of the questions that I have for you guys is this indicative of a growing political interest amongst young people, or do we just like to look at pretty things? I mean, Callum, yeah.
I think it's a bit of both, actually. The one thing we do have to point out about Kurz is he was foreign minister before he actually became prime minister and was a very successful foreign minister as well, and was very popular as foreign minister. He also had meetings with the United States. Kind of creating very warm relations between Austria and the United States, and as a foreign minister, you know, you can't be doing a bad job if you're warming relations in that way. As for, you know, we like to look at pretty people, I think very much that is something that's becoming very much of the political scene. I don't think that's going to go away anytime soon either, and I think that politics has been a personality contest for a very long time. The election of Blair is definitely one of those things. We like nice people, we like nice looking people, and I don't see that changing, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think because the image is so important now in politics, it's especially because of the rise of social media, the technology getting better and better, because you used to have debates on radio, you just have to listen. Now it's a whole televised debate, you can watch it live from everywhere you want, so you have to make sure that you look the part, you speak the part, and you come over sort of charismatic. And that's the most important thing now for politics, to be very, very charismatic.
Yeah, coming off of that, that's really interesting that you mentioned that, because there is an often well-documented case that people who listened to Kennedy versus Nixon on the radio said, yes, Nixon won, but when they saw it, it was the first ever televised one, I think. And they said that no, Kennedy won, and it was all about the fact that there's this young, good looking, coiffed hair, great skin, as opposed to this kind of like very fatherly kind of, you know. But it's interesting how this has kind of developed even since the early 60s. And I think it's just it maybe doesn't it maybe doesn't subtract to it, but I don't think it adds to it either. I think it creates a whole kind of new dimension of needing to feel popular rather than know that your policies are popular. And needing the feeling that, like, Thatcher infamously, like, if you've read some of her autobiographies, like, said she would never ever do something like that because she doesn't have the kind of, she didn't feel that she had the kind of persona to make people want to vote for her other than maybe appearances in PMQs.
I personally think it's just that people just want change. Whether change is good or bad, I think they just want change. For example, like, maybe young people just tired of seeing older people in Parliament, older politicians that might not necessarily have their views. And as a change, they'll probably just want someone younger to represent them as a whole, not really thinking, is this person the best person, but rather the young, and I can relate to them.
Yeah, I think you're right. But I think the other thing to note is that we sort of do now with our leaders, we do this, you've probably heard of it, the Putin test, where we have to, before we elect someone now, we sort of have to be able to imagine them sat in a room with Putin and kind of looking like they should be there, kind of looking moderately professional. I think it comes hand in hand, actually, weirdly, with the kind of nationalism and sort of increased patriotism, which is that we kind of want our leaders to obviously be professional and do what they do well, but we also want to be like sort of proud of our leaders. So, you know, I mean, I think I remember some of the criticisms of Angela Merkel, who's just been re-elected, was that you just can't really picture her being particularly warm or interesting to speak to if she was, if you met her at a dinner party or something like that. Whereas someone like David Cameron or Justin Trudeau, or the others we've mentioned, you can kind of picture them being very confident and working their way, doing sort of a good job when they come face to face with Putin. So I think it does. I think it does tie a bit into politics. I don't think it's just purely aesthetics.
This is URN,
the Big Picture Breakdown.